Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. You can join the show here. You can bring up whatever you want and take control of the airwaves. As we do every night here on Free Talk Live. The number for you is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you tonight is Ian.
And then nobody formerly known as Rich Paul.
And Chris.
So we got some interesting news in the crypto world to start the show out with. Plus, Chris, you have a story about Arizona where there's apparently a bill that's been put forward by a state senator to make Bitcoin legal tender. We can talk about that. Plus, El Salvador, there's an update on their Bitcoin situation down there. There's been a lot of attacks against El Salvador on an international scene because they have adopted Bitcoin as a legal tender. And that's what apparently Arizona's considering, or at least one senator is proposing. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that that story. Plus, I do have the latest on the El Salvadorian case as well. But first, a little bit closer to home, there's a bank that was created in Wyoming. Now, I don't know if you guys are familiar that Wyoming, a couple of years ago, maybe 3 years ago at this point, passed a whole package of legislation at the state level that makes it kind of the freest state, or at least the most kind of welcoming U.S. state to cryptocurrency-related businesses. I can't explain to you what those protections are. It's sort of a regulatory structure, if you will, that a lot of these businesses, they really want to have in place before they will feel comfortable adopting the technology or openly working with the crypto technology. And so Wyoming did that stuff. They've been trying to borrow those ideas here in New Hampshire in recent years as well. So I think a couple of them passed last year, but I'm not 100% sure on that. I didn't follow them really closely.
How did we not talk about this last year if something passed?
I mean, I think we talked about it as they were working on the bills. I believe Keith Ammon was the individual who put those forward, but I don't recall as to whether or not
they passed. To remember that something passed, but it wasn't earth-shaking.
Yeah, it's just one of those regulatory bills. It's just like, hey, businesses, come locate here. It's not like it's going to, you know, disconnect from the Federal Reserve. Or whatever. But that's what I wanted to talk about was the Federal Reserve, because in Wyoming, one of the things they did, and I don't think that we've aped this one in New Hampshire yet, one of the things they did was they made like a state-level bank, like a what they call a special depository institution in Wyoming that you can form. I presume it's a little bit easier to do than maybe like a federal bank, for instance. And there's a crypto group called Custodia. They used to be known as Avanti Bank. There's a woman who is their CEO named Caitlin Long. Now, I happen to have met this lady. She was at the...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she was at... there was a series of crypto conferences that happened here in New Hampshire out on the seacoast for about 3 years.
Yeah, I went to one of those, I think. Yeah.
Bruce Fenton is the guy that put those conferences on. And they're really good, like really small, kind of intimate conferences, no more than maybe 100 to 200 people each year. And one of the people that attended was Caitlin Long. She actually happened to live in the Keene area at one time. She's a free stater, or was a free stater. She doesn't live in New Hampshire anymore, but she did live in New Hampshire. She had moved here, I believe, for the Free State Project, and she lived, I think, up in the Alsted area, the kind of the Keene region, Cheshire County area. And so she was familiar with Keene and like the stuff that we were doing out here. So, you know, it was nice connecting with her. And she had told us that she was in Wyoming now full time and that they were doing some exciting stuff. She was the lady behind the efforts in Wyoming, the political efforts to get these laws passed to kind of shore up the crypto world, the crypto business world in Wyoming. So she's a real doer. Like, she's a go-getter for sure. And she's the CEO of what they are now calling Custodia Bank. And they have applied for membership. So they went through the jump through the hoops in Wyoming. They got the Wyoming special depository thing, whatever, that bank, special bank thing, determination or whatever by Wyoming. Had no problem doing that. And that's, they've had that for a few years now, like 2020 or 2019. And so they did that, and then they applied to the Federal Reserve Board for membership. And it has been a couple of years, because they...
A really long wait, if I understand.
Yeah, it's
that
been
correctly.
A long wait. In fact, they actually filed suit in June of 2022 against the Federal Reserve, alleging the central bank was unlawfully delaying their decision.
I think we've covered this story earlier, yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, there's a statutory deadline for what is called a master account with the Federal Reserve, which would give the institution direct access to their payment systems. So,
how many slaves can they have with that account?
That's a good question. They don't have the account yet, and it's been like, you know, more than a year and a half or 2 years since they put the application in. So just to clarify things here, their application for the master account is still pending. That's not what was denied. So apparently they're still waiting for that, but they've been denied on what they are calling Federal Reserve Board membership. I guess that's something different. Maybe you can have a master account without being a member of the Federal Reserve Board. I'm not sure how all that works. But they have been denied by the Federal Reserve Board, finally. As the Federal Reserve Board had made a statement saying that the crypto-focused institution's, quote, novel business model and proposed focus on crypto assets presented significant safety and soundness risks. The Fed added, saying, quote, Custodia's risk management framework was insufficient to address concerns regarding the heightened risks associated with its proposed crypto activities, including its ability to mitigate money laundering and terrorism financing risks.
Of course. You know, this isn't the first...
Terrorism financing, they mean taxes?
Yeah. No, I don't think they mean that.
Oh, okay. I don't think they mean that, but I could definitely see it, somebody interpreting it that way.
But your point you're making there, nobody, is that the government are terrorists by definition.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. This is definitely not the first time that somebody has tried to work within the system, in quotes, been denied by the federal government in terms of either licensing or what they were allowed to do. I remember, or maybe it was a credit union I'm thinking of, but either way, basically, it's all regulated, right, at the federal level, and they were...
How the hell do you work within a system that's designed to keep you out?
That's
the whole purpose of it.
Well, yeah, right, and that's exactly the problem that the other, the story I remember from many years ago, and basically what they were allowed to do was effectively all they were allowed to do was issue loans to like rural communities or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, it doesn't make for a bank, right? You think you'd found a bank and then you'd be able to, like, I don't know, take people's money and hold it or whatever. Mm-hmm. and do other things like checks and, you know, but no, they weren't allowed to do anything other than like loan people money.
It was crypto related, which makes sense if they're not part of the Federal Reserve, because banks are required to hold a certain amount of reserves at the Federal Reserve based on how much depositor money.
So they were, I mean, they were like basically denied because they were wanting to do stuff with crypto. Is what it came down to.
Oh, okay.
And so the authorities, the regulators, mm-hmm. were basically making it really, really, really basically impossible to do. You know, even though they'd done everything, they jumped through all the hoops. You know, a year and a half had gone by, and all they could do was, you know, issue loans.
Hmm. Yeah, we're seeing this on all fronts, where it has just basically been made impossible by the system for anyone who actually wants to be quote-unquote law-abiding, for anyone who wants to jump through the hoops, who wants to, you know, be protected by the system. They're just simply not, there's no path forward. There's no path ahead for these people. They cannot discern what the laws actually mean, how they're applying to their business, if they're applying to their business, in what way they're applying. And even if they mess up when they try to, you know, navigate this, then there's criminal charges or the potential complete destruction of your business.
Yeah, I mean, effectively, the regulators have been given broad authority without any accountability. And then, of course, you know, they abuse it and hinder people from, you know, they hinder basically even end users, you know, the general public from, in many cases, just even having bank accounts or getting bank accounts if, you know, they don't like a certain, if you're part of a certain group that they, you know, regulators don't like.
Yeah, and the idea of having these laws that are just word salad, I mean, that's something that Ayn Rand was writing about in Atlas Shrugged. She wrote, "We don't write these laws to be obeyed. We write them to be broken because there's no way to rule
yep.
free men. The only thing that a government can do is crack down on criminals. Well, if your society doesn't produce enough criminals, you make more. You make more and more things illegal until nobody can turn around without breaking one of your laws, yeah, and then you cash in on the fear."
You know, it's interesting because this applies, you know, basically to anything and everything. They basically write these laws to be impossible to obey, mm-hmm. and then they come up with the systems to comply, and comply is in quotes because it's actually impossible to follow the law. And if you start looking at it,
they have to look like they're doing something, and mm-hmm. then they have yep. to own enough politicians that they'll never be prosecuted, no matter what they do, unless, you know, they tell the truth about Epstein or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically just, it's impossible to comply with these laws, and they just, you know, you have these systems that are set up, you know, to comply, and often they cost money, and they're costly.
Right, imagine what it would cost to start your own bank, to go through all the hoops and hiring the lawyers and jumping through the paperwork and doing all the stuff you got to do to start a bank, only to ultimately be denied at the top level. So they built it all the way from the bottom, and then they said, all right, well, we're ready to apply for our Federal Reserve membership. We've got all our ducks in a row, right? Because you know that's not easy. It cannot be an easy process to apply for Federal Reserve membership, and then it's, nope, sorry.
Well, if it was an easy process, banks couldn't charge $35 for an overdraft.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, and this is not, you know, like I was saying, this is not, you know, we're talking about banks right here, but this is actually, you know, this is, you can extend this to all sorts of other laws, to just businesses in general, and just walking down the street in many cases, you could be committing a felony. What is it, 3 felonies a day? I mean, that's right. Common,
that's what they say,
quote. And
nothing
saying
is actually legal. It's just that some things are harder to prosecute than others.
Yeah, and of course, we're going to go in on Monday, by the way. I know I'm going. I don't know if anyone else is planning to attend. You are?
I'm planning on. I failed to get to two other hearings, but yeah.
Library has what is supposed to be their final hearing. Library is the crypto technology company that is behind the Library network, the Library protocol, that is a media sharing protocol. It is available online. Anyone can use it, and you can upload and download various different types of media from it, including videos, audio, PDF files, you know, other things. Very, very handy technology. And because of that, the SEC targeted them a couple of years ago and brought a lawsuit against them saying, well, we think your token, the library credit, is a security. And
yeah.
then they basically bankrupted them on the process of taking them to court and having to hire all the attorneys that they had to hire and do all the, you know, footwork that they had to do there legally, ultimately to have the federal court rule in favor of the SEC and say that the library token is indeed a so-called security. And now they are going into what they call the settlement phase of this. And Library has pointed out, as they've been posting about this throughout the history of the case, is like, we tried to be good. We tried to jump through all the hoops. We asked the SEC multiple times, what do we have to do? What do we have to do to satisfy your requirements? Just tell us what to do, and we'll do it. And the SEC would never clarify what they had to do. It was just like, well, we're just going to sue you.
Well, the system isn't designed to control how you do things. The system is designed to keep the peasants out and the lords in.
Yeah, you know what's interesting too about the library case is so often I hear people who are critical of cryptocurrency say, oh, well, you can't use it for anything. And it's like, well, hold on a moment. Library is a perfect example of a use. They had a use, mm-hmm. and the government slammed them for effectively trying to promote decentralization, to undermine a monopoly. Or I shouldn't say a monopoly, but a cartel.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a cartel either, but certainly, certainly a big player in the market that's saturated the mm-hmm. market for video, you know, distribution. And, you know, there's not, I mean, how many competitors are there really to YouTube? Unfortunately, there isn't. There is no
nothing
other,
at that level. Yeah,
yeah, nothing mm-hmm. substantial. And this is a potential platform to basically compete. And you know, here the SEC is trying to destroy anything that it's a free speech. It's really what it is a free speech issue. Mm-hmm. And they won't allow it, and they justify it.
They're
based
trying to shoehorn this new technology into these old statutes that have absolutely nothing to do. Oh, well, this you know, what is essentially free speech, as you pointed out, it's programming on the internet. They're now saying is a quote unquote security. It's a stock. It's a bond.
But it's not.
Ridiculous.
But the thing is, you don't expect nobody expected to get value from the mm-hmm. from the company itself because it wasn't
That's
tied
correct.
To the company. It was a separate thing.
Yeah, and here's the thing: the company's going to go out of business because they're. That's what's going to happen as part of the settlement.
Sure.
And the library credits are still going to be there.
Right. It's
the proof.
Right. It doesn't even stop it. It's just, yeah, the whole thing is absolutely crazy.
And that's just how it should be done. We should not be trying to hook crypto up to the criminals
mm-hmm.
because the criminals destroy everything they touch.
And by criminals,
so don't touch them.
You're talking about the government.
I'm talking
right?
about the Federal Reserve. Okay. I'm talking about the regulators. I'm talking about the bankers, the mm-hmm. banker scum who finance both sides of every war in history.
It's true.
The people with more blood on their hands than any other human beings.
It's a fact.
Monsters.
Yeah, I agree with you. But unfortunately, you know, in order for these things to go quote unquote mainstream, the mainstream people are going to try to connect it to the mainstream. And that's what we're seeing happen here with Custodia Bank. You know, this lady is a crypto person. She did work in Wall Street, but she's totally into the crypto thing. And you can't blame them for saying, I mean, essentially, and I can't speak for her, but my understanding of what they were trying to do is it's incredibly difficult for crypto-related companies to get a bank account, right? Like, you
right.
can't just walk into
oh, yeah.
a bank and say, we just
but
opened
what
up
do you
a
need a bank account for when you've got a crypto wallet?
Well, I get what you're saying, but there's
right.
still the challenge of the on-ramp and the off-ramp.
Yeah.
We still have to be able to get people to leave the fiat money system and enter the alternative.
Well,
and in order to do that,
we know how to do that. You do it by buying and selling goods, preferably wholesale goods,
yep.
for Bitcoin, and also buying and selling those same goods for cash, but you never trade cash for coin.
Yeah.
You never trade coin for cash.
Yeah.
If you want...
that adds an extra step. It makes it harder.
It does add an extra step, but that's okay because it's a barrier mm-hmm. between us and the filthy economy.
Mm. So, you know, this is one of the reasons why I'm a big fan of promoting the development of tools to help mm. make it easier for businesses and individuals to accept cryptocurrency, because then you can as nobody here is saying, completely bypass
yeah.
you know, the dirty fiat system, the government system. You don't need the banks necessarily. Though something that is certainly, don't get me wrong, it helps onboard people,
yeah. mm-hmm.
but you don't necessarily need it. And this is why the government's efforts, I think, are going to fail ultimately, but it doesn't mean it won't slow adoption.
I want to go to the phones here. David's on the line in Georgia. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, David.
Hey, great conversation, you guys. And couple of things. First of all, you're totally right about the way to do this crypto thing is don't sell cash for coins and don't sell coins for cash. Do this whole goods thing like you're talking about.
Hmm.
Horizontal scaling is the way to go. We don't need a Coinbase. We need a billion Coinbases. We need a billion people doing $10 transactions for restaurant payments and, mm-hmm. and things like that. And, you know, local Monero and things like that. And like, I want to sell this widget to you and mm-hmm. I will take Monero for this widget.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even local Bitcoin is illegal. I mean,
Well, that's what we did, and yeah,
that's what the Crypto Six did.
Right, that's the thing. They are trying to cover all of the possible entrances and exits to the world of cryptocurrency. I mean, I get what David's saying, though. If there were, you know, 100,000 sellers on local bitcoins, it would certainly be a much more challenging takedown for the government to go after all of them. But they would still target the prominent ones, and they would still make make an example out of them.
You know, Europe's gone farther actually than the U.S. even in this regard, because I'm going to refresh people's memory here. You guys probably already remember this because I've said it, but Europe has actually gone to the extent of requiring identification by the intermediaries. So, you know, companies like BitPay, for example, that merchants use, are forced to basically ID the person who is making payment to the business.
Just somebody buying at the business?
Yep.
Wow.
And
that's crazy.
What's important about this, though, is the point I'm going to make. It doesn't actually work if you are taking cryptocurrency directly yourself using tools like BTC. There's something called BTC Pay Server, and that will allow you to take like Bitcoin and at least Monero or a fork of it.
Without asking for ID?
Without asking for ID, because you are taking it as a business directly as opposed to using an intermediary.
So you're not breaking the law if you do it that way in Europe?
I don't believe so. I believe that will solve the problem.
Well, give them time. They'll make that illegal, too. Go ahead, David.
Also, keep in mind, though, that, the U.S. might go after the 100,000 or a million sellers on local bitcoins, but good luck prosecuting all those cases, especially when not all of them are in the U.S., when some of them are in Panama and some of them are in Africa and Zimbabwe. And
I think you make
all these people in all these different places. They can't prosecute that.
There's a good point here, and that is that even though they've targeted people, and Ian, they probably targeted even especially probably, or their benefit of targeting Ian, is that he is a well-known individual, which means they get media attention, which means they get a message out there saying
this is dangerous.
Selling Bitcoin is illegal when when in reality, the chance that they are going to come after you if you sell on what was local Bitcoin, I guess, isn't really that significant given the number of sellers and everything else. They're just targeting the biggest fish.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Well, not even the biggest fish economically, but the fish who actually speak out against the tyrant.
Correct.
For sure. It was a political attack against another Crypto Six, but
Not going after the Winklevoss brothers.
Mm-mm. No, it's not even necessarily the biggest fish that they're going to. I mean, I think if it wasn't for the political aspects of it, they probably would have just gone after the biggest fish, but they did, it wasn't just that.
Well, now wait a minute. They did go after the Winklevoss twins recently. Gemini got sued by I think they got sued by the SEC. So not criminal charges, but the SEC said that their earn program, where you could deposit Bitcoin and make 4% or whatever, was an illegal security.
I wish we could look up how many politicians they owned, because then we would know how many politicians you need to go from criminal to civil, and maybe if you double that, you can actually be almost free.
By the way, David, thanks for the recommendation on the CERX website, S-E-A-R-X. There's like an open source search engine out there that he recommended, and I've been using it, and it's looking good so far. Thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate the heads up on that. We've got more coming up here in moments. You can join the show. It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA News Update. The video involving the beating death of Tyree Nichols is sending words of shock. The FBI director is very upset after watching the video of Nichols' traffic stop that led to his death.
What happened in Memphis is obviously tragic. I've seen the video myself, and I will tell you, I was appalled.
Christopher Wray said the FBI and Justice Department will investigate what happened in Memphis. The White House is calling the attack on Paul Pelosi unconscionable. Police video of the attack on former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband was released today, showing the suspect hit him over the head with a hammer as Paul Pelosi lays motionless. Rona McDaniel will continue to serve as chairwoman of the Republican National Committee. She won re-election over challenger Harmeet Dillon in a secret ballot vote at the party's annual winter meeting in Southern California. This is her fourth term. Dave Collins, USA News.
This is how we do every day.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is Mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ag Council.
I need a copy of my tax return. How do I get one?
If you don't have a copy of your original tax return, you can get a transcript of your tax return for free from the IRS. A transcript shows most line items from your return, which is usually all you need. You can order a transcript of any return filed within the past 3 years, including forms 1040, 1040A, and 1040EZ. All you need to do is go to irs.gov/transcript to order your transcript today.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. You can join us here. And you can bring up whatever you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you tonight, it's Ian.
Nobody.
And Chris.
You can join us online anytime you want. Head over to freetalklive.com and enjoy the various features we have on the site there. Our chat server is chat.freetalklive.com. You can interact with other Free Talk Live listeners there. And it's available 24/7. You can get all the details on how to get signed up over at chat.freetalklive.com. We go back to your phone calls and thoughts, and then more about the continuing attack against cryptocurrency by the federal government, this time denying a crypto-focused bank from membership in the Federal Reserve System. But we got Olivia on the line in Arizona. Olivia, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hey, so I had two topics. The first one I'm going to be brief on, because last night you were discussing M&Ms that were geared towards women.
Yeah.
Which, personally, I think most women...
They call those feminems.
That would actually be funny. but it's such a slap in the face because it's such a token nonsense gesture. If you ever get on a forum or a comment on a post about things like this, women don't need this stupid pandering blather of, oh, we recognize that you're out there. Yeah, you recognize that we're out there. What we're asking for is pockets sewn into dresses and pants. We're asking for
okay, I've got to ask you this. Why? I mean, why don't you just start your own company and start making clothes with pockets in them if you don't think there are enough pockets? And it seems like the world would beat a path to your door.
Yeah, I feel like I'd just be wearing men's clothes as a woman if I was a woman.
I mean, that's what I do now.
So yeah, well, me too, but I'm a man.
Go ahead, Olivia.
Sorry.
I work in a fitting room in a discount store, that discount clothing store called Ross Dress for Less, and women more and more are buying men's clothing because the fabric is better. The prices are usually cheaper. The clothes last longer. They actually have pockets. More and more I hear women saying, I buy men's deodorant because it smells great, and the active ingredient is usually is much stronger in the men's deodorant they give you, like, I forgot what it is, 5% active ingredient in women's deodorant, it's like 19% in men's deodorant. It's just the quality. Oh, they were talking about razors are much better quality in men's than women's. It's just, and it's always, men's stuff usually is cheaper for better quality. And it's just, this posturing is so insulting, honestly.
Yeah, it's like, okay, finally, women, you finally made it. There's now female M&M spokes candies. Okay.
They've been around for a while.
Yeah.
But we're not going to actually better
Greenland
your life
was kind
anyway.
Of a hoe.
All right, Olivia, what else?
Well, not anymore. She wears sensible shoes.
not anymore. They're shutting down the whole spokes candy division, apparently. That was the story from last night, due to too much controversy over decisions regarding their characters.
Oh, wow. They're sending them off to the home with Aunt Jemima and
yeah.
Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
They'll have a good time there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They'll like those guys.
Okay.
Unless they get eaten.
All right, Olivia, what else?
The real reason I called tonight is, as you know, the Texas penal system is an absolute affront to humanity. And one thing that they do is, if you are a member of certain gangs, like the Aryan Brotherhood, or they have a list of them. Ironically, Crips are not on the list, but certain gangs, if you're a member, you automatically go into administrative segregation, which is basically isolation.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you can get out, the only way out is they do have a program where you can be put back into the system, but in order to be in general population, you have to snitch on other gang members, which is really just asking for trouble.
Yeah, that's bad.
I mean, you know what's really messed up about that, too, is, like, there's this idea, we have, you know, in theory, I mean, and I don't know if I'm sure this has been, like, narrowed down to nothing, but freedom of association, it's in the Constitution. Like, you think you'd be protected from...
You don't get that in prison.
I understand why you might not get that, because not all your rights are preserved in prison. Mm-hmm. However, if you haven't been convicted yet, you should have that right preserved.
I gotta say, as a, periodic prisoner, I appreciate not running into the Aryan Brotherhood, because
yeah,
they and I would not get along.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
I'm too dumb to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, plus if you're pre-sentence, Chris, they're not obligated to put you in with the sentenced offenders either, and they really probably shouldn't,
yeah,
honestly,
yeah, probably
doing
right.
that.
But they do.
Sometimes, yeah, that's true.
Really about they're already being punished by being put in prison, and their only crime is that to get this extra punishment of 23 hours a day, usually 24, because they don't have enough guards, so they don't get that hour of recreation, which is really just being put in a dog cage. It's not even a real recreation. But their only crime is that they're literally locked into a 4x10 cell. And they literally start losing their minds. People have talked about these prisoners who are kept back. There's, according to the news story, there's over 500 prisoners who have been in isolation due to gang affiliation, and they won't recant, they won't snitch. They've been in there for over 10 years. They lose their mind. They become psychotic. They'll write letters home and claiming they're the king of Egypt, or all kinds of crazy stuff. If you get on Texas Prison Stories on YouTube, posted by Tim Snow, his latest video talks about a woman who's working with them, trying to help them, because they're having a hunger strike right now. They've been on hunger strike for 16 days. The state of Texas says 13 because they don't count the first 3 days. It's not considered a hungry strike.
Yeah, it never works. They just hook you up to like a food tube at some point. They'll shove a tube down your throat and feed you that way. If you get real serious about a hunger strike in prison, it's just
actually
not going to go anywhere.
Actually, they've been able to. So that's interesting you say that, because usually it's like one person on hunger strike, and the way that they can do that nasogastric tube is they'll claim, oh, this person is mentally ill, and so for their own good, we're going to do this. But this is actually organized. There's over 70 prisoners right now who are doing this hunger strike. So they can't say, oh, this is just mass psychosis. They're not intervening.
They probably don't have 70 hospital beds. Yeah, I get what you're saying
there. There's definitely a limit to what they can do if enough people are participating.
Yeah, that's interesting. So that's happening as we speak?
As we speak, it's been, and I personally have done a 14-day water fast before.
Mm-hmm.
I got so weak, I could not even turn over in bed. Literally, I could feel every cell in my body hurt. Like, this is not a joke. If you've ever fasted for a prolonged period of time, like, this is literal, almost, I don't want to say self-mutilation, but it's not, you know, you read that and you're like, oh, they're hungry. No, you're not even hungry anymore. Your body is literally destroying itself. But they're like, it's not worth it. I'm tired of losing my mind. I can't go on like this. There's just nothing but these walls to look at. They don't get educational programs. The most contact they get is they get mail. And
yeah, I just pulled up the story here. Reason apparently just published a piece about this today. Texas death row prisoners are suing over automatic solitary confinement. The state's arbitrary requirement to house all male death row prisoners in permanent solitary confinement does not promote safety and security, is inconsistent with correctional best practices, and serves no penological purpose.
And if it's limited to men, it also violates the 14th Amendment.
Thanks for bringing this to our attention, Olivia. I do appreciate the call here tonight. The group of Texas death row prisoners is suing the state's prison system, arguing that its policy of holding male death row inmates in indefinite solitary confinement violates their constitutional rights. The lawsuit filed recently on behalf of a group of male inmates at one facility argues the policy has had devastating effects on prisoners' physical and mental health, and that the state has little practical reason to justify it. Quote, researchers have extensively documented the physical and psychological harms caused by solitary confinement specifically and social isolation more generally in a substantial body of peer-reviewed literature spanning decades. There is no longer any question that prolonged solitary confinement causes severe harm, according to the 45-page complaint.
Yeah, and I mean, jail in general causes a lot of psychological harm. This works out very well for the system because they have to keep the public frightened. And if people come out of the prisons twisted and just, you know, guano loco, then, you know, they're more terrifying that way. And then you really need the government to protect you from all these lunatics that have been created by the government.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I understand, like, the idea of segregating, but the way in which they do it is appalling, you know? It's not like you segregated a bunch of, you know, people who've been convicted of murder that are going to be executed. You are keeping them separated from one another, you know, so they have no human contact. And that's the part that I think is so messed up.
Texas is, of course, not alone in automatically confining death row inmates in isolation. As of 2021, 12 states also practiced automatic solitary confinement for death row prisoners. According to the suit, these Texas death row inmates spend at least 22 hours each day in cramped 8-by-12-foot cells. They're only allowed to leave their cells on days when the prison allows for so-called recreation, during which they are moved to individual concrete and metal cages and permitted to exercise alone. Further, the complaint argues the state has no justifications for such harsh measures. Quote, defendants' arbitrary requirement to house all male death row prisoners in permanent solitary confinement does not promote safety and security. It is inconsistent with correctional best practice and serves no penological purpose. The effect of the policy has been devastated. Several of the plaintiffs in the suit have been in solitary confinement for decades, with one plaintiff serving almost 30 years in solitary confinement.
See, I'd just start killing guards. Any chance I got, I would kill a guard.
I'm pretty sure they're not going to give you any opportunity.
They killed me,
any opportunity to kill the guards when you're in solitary. But I don't know. You guys have more experience with this than I.
They have systems to prevent things from happening. Due to their isolation, plaintiffs have reported dramatic declines in their physical and mental health, such as significant weight gain, hypertension, depression, and PTSD. Further, prison officials have made it incredibly difficult for these inmates to get appropriate medical care or access their lawyers. Medical visits, quote, are sporadic, and mental and physical health providers are often forced to converse with their patients openly on the row, the complaint leads. Legal visits can take weeks to schedule and occur in a public setting where conversations are easily overheard.
See, actually, what I would probably do would be sue them to... and attempting to force them to provide me with what I need to commit suicide.
Ugly situation.
It's, because my church considers it a sin to live a worthless life. So if you render my life completely worthless, then I'm going to find some way to go out with a bang.
Oh, yeah, it seems such a waste of a life, just suicide in general.
It does until you consider that being in prison till you die, I mean, every day that you have to live between now and the end of your life reduces the aggregate value of your life.
Yeah, now, I guess what I'm trying to say, Nobody, is that if you're going to go out,
If you're in prison, it's better to die yesterday than tomorrow.
No, I guess what I'm saying is it would be nice is I'm not advocating for, but it would be nice if you were to commit suicide, right? There would be some sort of moral outrage by the public and things would change, right?
They wouldn't even know about it,
right? And that's the unfortunate part, right?
If I sued.
Well, if you're dead, then you have no case.
Well, no, but I'm saying that if I sued
to
for the right to commit suicide, they might never know that it had happened, but people would know that case had taken place.
I suspect it probably won't go anywhere for a bunch of different reasons, but I guess primarily that you have to have generally a basis for the lawsuit. Otherwise, where is it going to go? I mean, they're not just going to...
This is First Amendment free exercise. My religion requires that I not live a worthless life.
Freedom of religion. Maybe freedom
so
of religion,
if you render
but,
my life worthless, I am obligated to end it.
Yeah, I don't know.
The lawsuit is the latest example of a series of attempts to curtail the use of solitary confinement in Texas prisons. Inmate Dennis Wayne Hope, who's been in solitary for almost 30 years, asked the Supreme Court last year to take up his case, alleging this practice constitutes cruel and unusual punishment. Currently,
obviously it does.
Several inmates in Texas prisons are on a hunger strike.
His mistake, of course, is he thinks that the scum that runs our government actually cares about the Constitution.
Well, there's just only so much you can do, so if you can bring a lawsuit, you might as well bring the lawsuit.
Yeah, I mean, kudos to him for doing it.
Prolonged solitary confinement is an endemic in U.S. prisons. As of July of 2021, almost 50,000 people were held in isolation in U.S. prisons, which is around 3% of the total prison population. In Texas, almost 4,000 people are estimated to be held in isolation, and over two-thirds of those inmates have been held there for more than a year. David Fathi, the director of the ACLU's National Prison Project, told Reason, quote, "Decades of evidence shows the irreversible physical and psychological harm long-term solitary confinement causes. There is no defensible reason for prisons and other detention facilities to keep using long-term solitary confinement, which is recognized as a form of torture." Yeah, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever to do this to someone just because they're on death row. I can understand that they might say...
Well, we're going to murder you, so we're going to have to torture you.
I could understand the argument, at least, that, well, they have nothing to live for, so therefore they're more likely to be dangerous. But until they show that they're actually a danger, they don't belong in any kind of solitary.
Yeah, the moral crimes of government, I think, tend to be far worse than, the typical crimes that people end up in a cage for. There might be some exceptions with some serial killers out there, but
how many serial killers have killed a million people over the course of 10 years.
Yeah, I mean...
And that's just in one country. That's just Iraq. It doesn't even count Afghanistan. It doesn't count death squads in South America. It doesn't count
sure.
the CIA all over the world whacking people for no apparent yeah, reason.
I mean, and that's kind of the humorous thing about it is that you have a government where its employees are literally dropping bombs on families and children and women and wedding parties and things, you know, overseas, and it's like you killed 50 people at this wedding, and it's like, okay, that one person that, you know, that hit that button,
mm-hmm.
and now multiply that by all the people in the military, or at least a good percentage of the people in the military, and it's like, mm-hmm. let's just get rid of the military. I mean, we save far more lives.
And then at the very top of the organization, the pinnacle, the principle that brings them all together is a senile child molester who spends most of his time lecturing us
yeah.
about how a mentally ill person right. shouldn't be able to own a .22 when he is armed with nukes.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that you're going to convince these people to do the right thing with their facilities is, you know, it's hard to believe at best. I do wish them the best. I hope that they are successful with this lawsuit. But I mean, this has been decades in the making. This guy has been in there for, you know, this, according to this this other story at the AP, the guy that was in there for 30 years, a different guy that was in there for 30 years has spent 21 of them in solitary confinement. I mean, these guys have been waiting for their entire lives for this one opportunity to file this lawsuit, and only now it's happening. I mean, this is just so, such cold comfort, you know, even if it does finally happen.
No.
And they
There's
are...
no gang of criminals as bloodthirsty as the government.
According to the AP story here, it says the prisoners have been on hunger strike since January 10th, so what Olivia was telling us about, to protest the solitary confinement policy. They say it's unclear how many have taken part in the hunger strike, with activists estimating the number at several hundred at the start of the strike, and the TDCJ, the Texas Department of Criminal Justice, saying that it is about 70. As of this Thursday, 9 of them, which is yesterday, 9 were still on strike, according to Amanda Hernandez, the spokesbureaucrat for the TDCJ, and none of the inmates who participated have needed medical care. So,
does it say what prison they're in?
Texas Department of Criminal Justice. Actually, I just happened to get a letter from somebody in that prison a few weeks ago. He wanted me to set up the Securus account. For listeners that don't know, Securus is a prison jail phone messaging system. That
it's another way to rob prisoners.
The poorest, of course, people. They hijack the prisoners for as much money as they can possibly extract from them, just to get them to give them the ability to call their mom.
And then they turn your lawyer calls over to the prosecution.
I bet they do.
They have been caught doing.
Oh wow. Yeah, so Securus, he said, okay, well, you can go and set up an account. Here's my info. You got to put in the prisoner's name or their ID number, and you can search for them and add them to this instant messenger. I guess they're getting tablets in the prison or something like that, and they can text message you, basically, over a very controlled system.
Mm.
And so
very curious how that works.
I went, it's just a Securus software. They've got it on their end, and then you
well,
use it on
software,
your end.
Well, there's software, but there's also wetware, which is your email first goes to a guard who reads it and has to
right.
approve.
Of course. That's why I'm kind of really curious how that works. Instant messaging, it probably
no, it's not instant messaging. No,
oh, I thought you were saying it was instant messaging.
Just messaging.
No.
Yeah. Oh, I understand. Because
like
those messages are going to be delayed. They must
maybe
have
it'll
to
get
be.
There the next day. If you send an email on Friday, maybe it'll get there Monday.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah it's got to go through somebody's hands first.
Yeah.
So I went to the Securus site, and I thought I'd already had an account from whatever in the past, but I didn't. So I set up an account, and then I went to the e-messaging thing and tried to get in there, found the prisoner's name, but then when I went and I clicked add to contacts, it came up with an error saying, we're sorry, but this isn't working. You need to call our technical support department at this number.
Oh, God.
Okay, here we go. So I called the technical support department, and they said, well, can you try our app? because I was trying to do it through the website.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, whatever. I've already got government spyware on my phone, so sure, I'll try the app.
One more won't hurt.
Yeah, right? So I install the Securus app on the phone, and then I try to go through the whole process again, and the same problem comes up. I got to the guy's name, tried to add him to the list, same error comes up on the app. So I call him back. And I like, you know, I knew this kind of crap was going to happen. It's just this technology is crap, right? Like, it's this government. It's not a government company, but it's a government contractor, and they make a ton of money. So they don't care if they give you good customer service or not. They're rolling in the dough. But
they only care to the extent that they're making a dollar off you.
Right, but they don't even care that much because they're making a ton of dollars somewhere else. So it's like, if they piss you off, it doesn't matter. So I call up the second time. And I get somebody on the line, and I tell them what happened. I told them I already tried this and that, and they said, "All right, well, contact our support through the website." So even though the website told me to call the support number explicitly, the people at the support number say, no, send us a support email through the website. So I go ahead and I do that. No response. It's been 2 weeks now since I sent the support email. And then the dude in the Texas prison, he writes me another letter. So at this point, I've written him a physical snail mail to send back to him.
I was going
to
say, are they still allowing that? Because I know a lot of prisons are not doing that. They're not even allowing you to use a snail mail anymore.
Me specifically, because I'm a prison?
No, not you specifically, just in general. They've banned traditional mail being allowed into prison.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I was reading about an article about it here just, I don't know, within the last week, I think it was.
That sounds really illegal, and I hope somebody sues them over that. That's insane.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's lawsuits involved, but
yeah, there's going to have to be on that one. So, but anyway, the dude wrote me back, and he thought that, like, he thought that I was denying him or something because I hadn't added him to the list. He was kind about it, but you could tell he had his feelings hurt over not me not adding him to that list. So I wrote him back explaining, hey, look, man, this is what happened. It wasn't me, man. I was trying to add you, but the system isn't working. I don't know if it's that their system just sucks or if they know that I'm like pre-sentenced federal person. I'm on some sort of no-go list. Who knows?
Did it ask for some sort of ID in order to get into the system? Like
I don't. I mean, it wants to know who you are, but I don't think it was a social. I don't recall that.
Because otherwise, it's going to be like, you know, you could easily get caught up in a blacklist of some kind, right?
Yeah.
So another Ian Freeman, you know, could be on the blacklist and you're being denied. But it wouldn't surprise me.
You could always go out and buy a $20 cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it depends on how. I don't know how well you know this guy.
No, I've never heard of him. I'm just a guy in prison that listens to the show, you know?
Oh, okay.
We're on the air in Texarkana, where there's a Texas prison. That's where this TDCJ prison is located. So those guys are listening to us when we're on the air in Texarkana.
Nice.
So, yeah. Anyway, the number here is 603-283-6160. I also, in my email back, or not email, my physical mail back to him, I gave him the landline, the prison call-in line here. So if he wants to call us collect, he can do that. Anyway, you can join us here. Hour number two is on the way. Bring up whatever you want. Is Bitcoin going to be legal tender soon in Arizona? We'll talk about it.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.